ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 13, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड रघुना कन्वर्सेस विद जड भारत, टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। मेशुराम स्यान सुतदार वत्सलो व्यवाय दीनो विवसा स्वबंधने क्वचित् प्रमादात् गिरिकांडरे पतन वल्लिं गृहत्वा गजभीत अस्तिता। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी सिल प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: व्हेन द लिविंग एंटिटी बिकम्स एग्जैक्टली लाइक अ मंकी जंपिंग फ्रॉम वन ब्रांच टू अनदर, ही रिमेन्स इन द ट्री ऑफ हाउसहोल्ड लाइफ without any profit but sex. Thus he is kicked by his wife just like the he-ass. Unable to gain release, he remains helplessly in that position. Sometimes he falls victim to an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave. He becomes afraid of death, which is like the elephant in the back of that cave, and he remains stranded, grasping at the twigs and branches of a creeper. Puppet. The precarious condition of a householder's life is described herein. A householder's life is full of misery, and the only attraction is sex with the wife, who kicks him during sexual intercourse, just as the she-ass does her mate. Due to continuous sex life, he falls victim to many incurable diseases. At that time, being afraid of death, which is like an elephant, he remains hanging from the twigs and branches of a tree, just like a monkey. Dhrumeshuram syan sutadara vatsalo. Particularly, His Grace Yadubar Prabhu. I have no qualifications to be speaking on such a powerful verse, being very much subjected to gross and subtle sex desire. But hopefully, by trying to speak something on this verse, I will get purified, be able to make advancement in my spiritual life. So we are continuing this beautiful conversation between Maharaj Raghuna and Jada Bharat. And here Jada Bharat is explaining, in continuance of several verses that we have been discussing over the last few days, about the position of a living entity who is in the material consciousness of life. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport talks about what is the condition of a householder whose only attraction is sex. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada that he had given in Paris in 1974. And Srila Prabhupada says that the animals are subjected also to the sex desire. But their satisfaction of the sex desire is purely by instinct. They do not actually derive any sense gratification from their sex desire. And in fact, one doctor was telling me that particularly when some categories of animals engage in sexual intercourse, the whole activity is so painful that actually they have really no inclination to be performing the act. But because of this particular propensity to procreate, which has been given to them by the Lord, they indulge in this activity only for that purpose. So actually, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that animals, they have much more control over their sex desire than human beings. Because human beings make so many wonderful arrangements in order to ensure that their sex desire is fulfilled through so many facilities. And in fact, in the Western countries particularly, where the quality of life is much better than what we have here in India, the entire situation is so arranged that it facilitates an increased desire for sex. So we have seen how in practically every billboard, of course we have the situation coming in India too, but in the West it's much more grosser. Like I remember recently when I was just entering into the Stockholm airport, the first thing that greets a visitor the moment he enters into the airport is a large poster. And this poster must have been at least 12 feet by height and 6 feet by breadth, so occupying a very substantial portion of the wall. And what was in this poster? There was a completely naked man and woman jumping from a cliff onto the ocean. And the photographer had captured it in midair when this man and the woman were jumping off the cliff onto the ocean. This particular shot was captured in midair. And I naturally inquired from the host as to why is it that there was so much of inclination that was given for this particular activity. And he said that in Sweden we have there's a lot of ocean. Sweden is practically surrounded by the ocean, and there are a lot of mountains. And the most significant pastime of the people here is in the middle of winter to jump into the ocean completely naked in freezing cold water. First of all, outside it is like minus 10 degrees. And thousands of people actually join in this particular activity, that on the coldest day of the winter, they will remove all their clothes and jump into the sea. And for them, this is a very pleasurable activity. And of course, we all know that such an activity can't be at all pleasurable. I mean, when we would be covered from head to toe with very warm clothes for the purpose of making a display of the bodies, people will go to such an extent. So this is the facilities that are given by Mother Nature in the Western countries, where the propensity of a person to be giving in to his senses is much more stronger than what we have here in India. And people exploit this particular propensity. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining in this particular lecture in Paris that as the advancement of age sets in, a person actually becomes more attracted to sex desire. Although the body may be weak, the body is not giving him the facility to enjoy his senses, but his mind is so active because it has not been regulated through the process of Krishna consciousness. Because of that, his desire becomes more and more powerful. So just like we see how a person who doesn't have the facilities to be having some money, and if he comes across a vast amount of money, then he does not know what to do with it. So similarly, a person who is aged, when he has more time on his hands, he does not know what to do with his time, and then consequently his mind becomes hyperactive and is all the time meditating on how he can give in to this particular propensity of his, of of the sex desire. And Srila Prabhupada was giving this example of the king who had told his minister that when I'm young, it's easy for me. I mean, I should actually give in to my sex desire. But when I'm old, there is no problem because automatically my senses will become dull and I will not have any problem in controlling my senses. And the minister told him, no, it's not so easy. And the minister takes him to the house of a very old man who is about to die. And the king was asked to bring also his daughter along with him. And when the minister knocked on the door and the door opened, and the minister shouted out that the king is here to see you. But the person who was lying on the bed did not show any inclination to respond to the king. But the moment the king went along with his daughter to the bedside of this man and the man got the perfume of the girl, immediately all his senses were awakened and he got up from his bed with the intention to see who is this object who is emanating such a wonderful perfume. So immediately the minister then told the king, said, this is the condition of a living entity. Although this person is about to die and you, the king, have come to see him, he has no interest in meeting you. But the moment he comes across the perfume of this girl, all his senses get agitated. So Srimad Bhagavatam, the churned nectar of all the Vedic scriptures, tells us through so many different pastimes how difficult it is for a person to control his sex desire. Like we see in the example of Aditi and Kashyapa Muni. Aditi was actually a very chaste woman. But because she was subject to this sex desire, she practically forced Kashyapa Muni, although Kashyapa Muni was sure that that was not the appropriate time to be indulging in that particular act. And in the purport to this, Srila Prabhupada says that actually, a man is supposed to be having determination and he should be discriminating. Although it is the tendency of a woman to be giving in to this particular desire, but a man is expected to be discriminating and he is supposed to understand what is the appropriate time for indulging in this activity. So in this case, Kashyapa Muni did tell her that please wait for a few minutes till the inauspicious time for performing this act, which was actually, this was the time of twilight, and Kashyapa Muni told her that Shiva and all the ghosts and hobgoblins are actually traversing through the atmosphere now and waiting to see people who are indulging in all these activities, and accordingly they would be giving the punishment. So Kashyapa Muni did tell Aditi that this is not the appropriate time, but she was so much caught up by her sex desire. But actually Srila Prabhupada explains that she was not really succumbing to her sex desire. It was because she had this inclination to have children that she wanted to indulge in that activity. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to make the point that having sex at an inappropriate time could result in demons like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha being born. So the pastime of in the Srimad Bhagavatam between Kashyapa Muni and Aditi has a very powerful story to tell us. So that is the reason Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing in the purport that in the Vedic scriptures we have the Garbhadhan Samskar, where there is a preparation before a person engages in this act. And of course, this act is engaged only for the purpose of producing Krishna conscious children and not for the purpose of sense gratification. And in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada has given us this regulation that before we indulge in this act of sexual intercourse, we should be chanting at least 50 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so that we are in a proper consciousness to be inviting a soul, so that that soul can further progress in the path of Krishna consciousness. So Srimad Bhagavatam also gives us the way by which we can somehow or the other regulate our sex desire. It can be done only through the process of devotional service. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have Srila Haridas Thakur, who, because he was completely fixed up in his Krishna consciousness, although this prostitute who was sent by Ramchandra Khan to make him to break his vow, she came over there and she was exhibiting various parts of her body in order to attract his attention. But Haridas Thakur was so much fixed up in his consciousness that he told her that you just wait, let me finish my rounds. I have to chant a prescribed number of rounds every day. You sit over here and listen to this chanting. And the moment I'm finished, I will give in to whatever you want me to do. And like this, the whole night, this lady was hearing Haridas Thakur chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then when it became morning, Haridas Thakur told her that I'm very sorry, I didn't have any time to finish my round, so this night, definitely if you come to me, I'll see to it that I fulfill your desire. And then this lady went, and again she came in the evening, and then Srila Haridas Thakur again told her like this, that you please sit down over here and hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then as soon as I finish, I'll fulfill your desires. And then like this, it went on for 3 nights. And by the 3rd night, as this lady was hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra emanating from the lotus lips of Haridas Thakur, automatically that purification was taking place in her heart. And then at the end of the 3rd night, she fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and begged forgiveness, telling him that, please, forgive me. Actually, my desire was to break your vow, make you fall down and succumb to the sex desire. And Haridas Thakur told her that, actually, I knew about this. I knew why you had come to me. But because I wanted to give you this opportunity to purify your life, to perfect your life, I waited over here. Actually, I could have left from here as soon as I came to know that you were coming over here to entice me. And then Haridas Thakur told her that now you go back to your village and distribute whatever you have earned through your nefarious ways, distribute it to all the brahmanas and just wear a single piece of cloth and come over here, and then I will instruct you as to what to do. And this potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was so great that this lady, who was completely materialistic, who in fact I told Ramchandra Khan that within 1 day I'll see to it that this person is breaking his resolve. Such a lady, by hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in 3 days, her heart was completely transformed. And then she gave up all her wealth and she came over here and took shelter of Haridas Thakur. And then Haridas Thakur initiated her into the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and left. So we see the complete potency of a person who is fixed up in God consciousness. He cannot be deviated even for a single second. And we have this beautiful pastime which Srila Prabhupada would often quote of this Ramanujacharya, how it was during his period that when the deities of Ranganath were being taken on procession, Ramanujacharya and his disciples were seeing that there was one person who was standing next to his wife and holding an umbrella over her head, and all the time he was looking at her eyes. So Ramanujacharya, observing this, he was wanting to give his mercy to this person, and then he told his disciple that you go and call this person to me. And when this person came to Ramanujacharya, Ramanujacharya asked him, when the Lord was giving darshan to you and you should be actually taking darshan of the Lord, why is it that you were actually seeing the eyes of this woman? Your eyes were, you were completely meditating on her eyes. And then this person said that her eyes are so beautiful that there is nothing in this world that can be compared to the beauty of her eyes. So naturally, I'm so much attracted to it. And then Ramanujacharya told him that if I can show you something more beautiful, then will you give up this desire to see the eyes of your wife? And he said, yes, if you show me something that is more beautiful, definitely. And Ramanujacharya took this person before Lord Ranganath. And the moment this person saw Lord Ranganath, he became completely transformed. And then Ramanujacharya, in order to show the potency of devotional service further, Srila Prabhupada would be again speaking about this particular pastime where this person and his wife both became his disciples, and they were rendering such wonderful service to him. And because of this, he was showering all their mercy upon this couple. And this resulted in envy in the minds of the sannyasis. And sannyasis were plotting to somehow or the other disgrace this couple. So at that time, Ramanujacharya realized that the relationship between this grihasthas and the sannyasis were not good. And he created a situation where some of the cloth that the sannyasis would be wearing were torn. And when the sannyasis came across this, they started quarreling among themselves to find out who had done this. And then Ramanujacharya arranged for this grihastha couple to be visited by his brahmachari. Just when this lady of the house was sleeping, that time the brahmachari came and took the jewelry that was there on one side of her body. And this lady was thinking that, oh, my Guru Maharaj requires some money, they must be hard up. And with the intention to give the jewels on the other side of the body, she turned to the other side. And at that time the brahmachari was thinking that she had woken up, and then he ran away from the room. And all this was being observed by one sannyasi. And then subsequently, when Dhanurdas, that was his name, came into his house, and then his wife started narrating to him what had happened. Dhanurdas was very upset. He told her, why did you have to move? If you had not moved, then they would have quietly taken away whatever jewelry you had. And then all this was being heard by the sannyasi, and Ramanujacharya made the point that ultimately, who is more renounced? Is it you who are sannyasis who are supposed to be in the renounced order, or these are grihastha householders? Who is more renounced? You are actually quarreling over your cloth pieces, and here this grihastha family is ready to give whatever they have in the service of their Guru Maharaj. So we see over here this devotional service is so potent that it can overcome both gross as well as subtle sex desire. And Srila Prabhupada says that subtle sex desire is actually this desire for name, fame, glory and adoration. I was hearing a lecture of Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and Maharaj was talking about this particular aspect of how a person, although he may be able to give up his gross sex desire, still, if he is not performing devotional service properly, then the subtle sex desires become such a great impediment in his spiritual life. And Maharaj was talking about one temple president, and he said that this person was for the last 20 years the temple president of this particular temple, and because he somehow or the other was not able to establish any proper relationship between himself and the devotees in the temple, somehow the devotees saw to it that this person was removed from his position. And this temple president came to Maharaj and told him that, I have done so much of service. For the last 20 years I have been serving Srila Prabhupada's movement. And here, why is this thing happening to me? And then Maharaj was explaining that he told him that, what is the reason why you have been removed? And then he started giving so many reasons. But then Maharaj told him that the actual reason why you have been removed is that you didn't establish proper relationship among the devotees. If you had proper relationship with the devotees, then even though your style of functioning may not have been appropriate, then still the devotees would have been ready to accept you. And this propensity of ours mainly stems from the desire for fame and prestige. Because we are not performing our service in a proper consciousness, and we have this desire which is inherent in all living entities for name, fame, glory and prestige and adoration, it manifests in our actions in due course of time. The only way by which you can curb this particular propensity of this anartha, the subtle sex desire coming and manifesting itself, is by ensuring that we have proper relationship among the devotees, by ensuring that our sadhana is proper. Because if we think that we can be performing our service without paying attention to either our sadhana or the relationship of devotees, relationship between the devotees, gradually this subtle aspect will keep coming into our consciousness and finally degrade us to such an extent that we will be practically forced to leave the association of devotees. So Maharaj was explaining that I told this person that the only way by which he can now make amends is to go back into the association of devotees and take up a humble position. Forget about the position that you were as a temple president and make it known to the devotees that you are only interested in perfecting your life in Krishna consciousness. Everything else becomes secondary. Of course, it became a very difficult task for him in the initial stages. But then as he started following the instructions of his spiritual master, he started finding that the purification is taking place in his heart. And Maharaj was explaining that in a matter of a year, he was once again reinstated to the position of the temple president. Because the people realized that there was... Actually, the person was a very competent manager, but only because of his manner in which he was behaving with his devotees, with the devotees, that he was not able to establish any proper relationship with them. And they, from their side, although they tried to help him, to try to change his ways, he was somehow or the other not reciprocating. But when his spiritual master explained to him that this is the only recourse by which you will be able to once again be able to start making progress in your Krishna consciousness, then without being attached to his position as a temple president, he started performing menial service. And over a period of a year, the same devotees who had actually kicked him out reinstated him once again as a temple president. So Maharaj was making the point that however much we might have curbed this particular desire for gross sense gratification in the association of devotees, what is much more important for us to curb is this subtle sex desire, which manifests itself in the desire for name, fame, glory, adoration and prestige. Because this propensity, Maharaj was saying that this propensity is there in all of us, whether we are in Krishna consciousness or not, this propensity is there. But in the association of devotees, because we are performing devotional service, we are able to control this particular gross sense gratification. That becomes relatively easier because we are in the association of devotees. Because we acquire the qualities of the persons with whom we associate with. So when we are associating with people who are following the four regulative principles, then it becomes easier for us also to be following the four regulative principles, right? Of keeping the Ekadashi Vrata or fasting during festival days. So far as we are in the association of devotees, it becomes very easy for us to do it. But the most important thing that we have to safeguard ourselves in the association of devotees is the subtle sex desire coming up in our heart, the desire for name, fame, glory. So Maharaj was explaining that it is important to really follow what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnunam amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So he said that in the initial stages of our Krishna consciousness, it's very easy for us to be following this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then as we spend more and more years in Krishna consciousness, and then we become senior in the eyes of the devotees who are relatively new to Krishna consciousness, then this propensity starts coming up in our heart for getting adoration, respect from the other devotees. And if you are not careful, then this weed can become a huge tree and completely crush our desire for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Of course, Maharaj said that nothing is actually lost in Krishna consciousness. There is always an opportunity for us to recoup, provided we take a humble attitude. Other devotees are always willing to help us. Devotees are never ready to spurn our approach when we really, with a genuine heart, reach out to them, asking them for mercy, asking them for help. Devotees will be the first people to come to our help. So Krishna consciousness is actually a very easy process to follow, but at the same time it can be complicated in case we do not take care of ensuring that we are practicing our Krishna consciousness with the right attitude, with the right mentality. We can fall victim to this subtle sex desire. So we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada how he curbed this particular propensity within himself as well as when he was training his disciples. At every stage in their life, he would train them that this particular aspect of your life you have to be very careful about. Ensure that your subtle sex desire does not manifest itself. Are there any questions? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki chai.